What's up, everybody? Welcome back to Negro Please Radio. I'm Chris Allen. How y'all doing? This is the third installment, and this week I'm coming back to you guys from my wife's car, live from the car. My son is trying to go to sleep, and I don't want to be loud. So I'm sitting in my scary driveway in the dark, okay? I got the floodlight shining off to my left so I could barely see into my backyard. So, like, if some scary shit come, like, walking out, you know, the back under this lattice, I'm going to see it at the very last minute, and then this podcast is fucking over. It's done. Happy New Year! 2015 is here. I hope you guys are enjoying it. I hope you guys had a safe New Year. I'm getting old, man. I didn't do anything. I didn't watch the ball drop. I stayed up till midnight, but I did not watch the ball drop. I will not bring in the New Year watching the ball being dropped, okay? We should change that. Let's pick the ball up. Let's let that shit rise, 2016. Instead of bringing the new year in, dropping the ball, let's lift that motherfucker up. Let's try that, America, or the whole entire world. Let's do that. Maybe we can make some progress. I don't want to start off the podcast on a somber note, but yesterday the sports world lost an icon. Stuart Scott lost his long battle with cancer, and he will be missed. You know what? I had no idea it would make me as emotional as it did. I never even met the man, never knew the man. And then I started doing a little bit of research. He got hired there in 93, and I'm like, damn, pretty much my entire, like, sports life, you know, because around 13, 14, that's when guys, especially, we really get into sports and we know what's going on. You might like football when you're 10. But I don't know now because generations are different. I don't even think Sports Center was that big when I was 10, even if it was even around in 1990. But I mean, for my generation, that's when Sports Center really, really started to kick off, and that's when I was becoming, you know, like a young man and really got into sports. And I just remember, like, just standing in my kitchen watching my TV that was on top of our refrigerator. I mean, just trying to hold off to the last second because I didn't want to miss the top 10 plays, you know. And it just so happened my bus came, like, around that same time. And I would always miss, like, the top two plays. So I would go to school and not know. All the other guys, you know, they would come in, you know, and repeating Stuart Scott's new, you know, Cool as the Other Side of the Pillow, Booyah, Boom Shakalaka, Mojo, all that, man. He was a huge influence in my life, and he will be missed, man. I just watching all those the Sports Center folks give their take on his life and how he lived and all that kind of stuff was very, very touching. Don't want to bring the podcast down too much, but rest in peace to Stuart Scott. He was a legend, an icon. He took ESPN to another level. I think he took sports broadcasting, color commentating to another level. I mean, he brought that kind of that coolness, man. You know, that brush shit. You know what I mean? That cool brother barbershop shit, man. He brought that, man, and he made it mainstream. You know, all those guys now try to have, like, a little catchphrase. That's kind of cool. You know, they're always up on the latest slang, swagger, beast, all that kind of shit. And I think that Stuart Scott had a lot to do with it. So heart goes out to, you know, him and his family, you know, his two kids and everyone that he that really, really know them, that really knew him. And he will be missed. So, yeah, rest in peace to Stuart Scott, man. Legend. All right. That's my homage to him. I hope everybody, like I said, had a safe New Year. Man, this oh God, the floodlight just went out. I can't have that. Hold on. Nope. I'm sitting here in the complete dark now. All right, I'll put the lights on. There you go. It's fucking scary out here. I can't lie. It is fucking scary. Where the hell was I? Let me get my book. That's gonna sound weird. Oh God, what did I do this week? All right, I saw this shit, man. I'm at Walmart the other day, right? Shopping. I'm not proud of it. I'm not proud of being at Walmart, but it's just the closest thing we have to us. So I'm walking down the aisle and I see this family, mother, father, two kids. The son is probably like 10. Girl's probably like 6 or 7. Kid's not looking too good. Not looking well at all. And as I get closer, he just has that look in his eye. And I was like, oh, I think this kid's about to yak. And sure enough, this kid fucking spews everywhere. Projectile vomit all over the floor. I mean, it was gross. It sounded like somebody threw a 5-gallon bucket of water in the air and you just hear it splat to the ground. It was just fucking gross. And the part that pissed me off is the family ran off like it was a goddamn crime scene. The dad didn't stay and tell the mom, hey, get somebody over here. You know, hey, people, somebody, my son threw up, go around. No, they fucking just took off running like they did something wrong. I was so pissed. That's why I don't like fucking shopping at Walmart, because it's complete animals that shop there, man. Disgusting. Gross. Now, how the hell do you just walk away from your kid throwing up 5 gallons of shit on the floor and just leaving it? What does that say about your character? You're a dad, for Christ's sake. Be a fucking man. Pick it up. Go back to the pet aisle. Get that shit that you put in the hamster cage. You know the stuff I'm talking about, when the janitor would come to your class in elementary school when somebody threw up. You get that fucking sawdust. You go back there and get that hamster cage bullshit. Dump it on the throw up. Matter of fact, go get a goddamn broom. They sell them at Walmart. Go get a mop. Clean that shit up and buy all that stuff. It's probably only like $9. Be a man. Pick up your goddamn waste from your kid. God. Ugh. I'm still mad about it. Go get that hamster shit. Go get it. And it's not a lot of black people in Rutgersville. And the fact that these people were black make me even more mad. It's like, nigga, what the fuck are you doing right now? What are you doing? So, sir, if you're listening, you're a piece of shit, okay? As I was checking out of Walmart, I saw that they had cupcake batter lip gloss, chapstick. How fat do you have to be? How gluttonous do you have to be to want your chapstick to taste like fucking cupcakes? Do you really need your mouth tasting like cupcakes all day? Do you really? Again, be a man. Get the original shit. Get the wax, the black wrapping. You don't need your chapstick to taste like anything. Okay? I'm off that cherry shit. I'm a man. I get the regular black chapstick, okay? And I rip the label off. That's how much of a G I am when it comes to my lip moisturization game. I get the straight black shit, and I take the wrapper off of it, okay? Saw this. I don't know if y'all saw this article or news story about the kid that's being sued by... I think like Travelocity. I should probably look this up. I think he's being sued by some airline companies and some of the ticketing websites. It's called skiplag.com. And basically what this genius ass kid did was, say you want to go to, I'm trying to pick a city that's not, say you want to go to Indianapolis. But the ticket to Indianapolis is like $500. But you realize, and don't fucking quote me, because I don't know if a flight would connect through their assholes, okay? I don't know. But say you look up a flight to Phoenix and you find out that the flight from where you live at to Phoenix with the connecting flight through Indianapolis is actually cheaper. So basically what this guy's website does, it finds you a connecting flight to where you actually want to go, okay? So when you get to your connecting flight in Indianapolis, you just get the fuck off the plane and don't get back on. Genius. This man should be applauded. This dude should get a Nobel Peace Prize. But no, these companies are suing him because they're losing money. It's like, really? Airfare is ridiculous anyway. It's fucking ridiculous. They're still charging us for luggage. And the prices of gas have gone down. They haven't stopped. And they're going to continue to charge us for even more stuff in the future. There's airlines overseas that already charge for the overhead compartments. That's only a couple years away. They're saying that's not ethical. That's wrong. Y'all overbook flights all the time.
Oh, that's all right to do that.
And it's not like, say you really did want to go to Phoenix and you get to Indianapolis and your flight is late. They're not going to fucking wait for you. They're not gonna wait from your flight from Boston. Oh, that flight's from Boston. Chris is gonna be late. We're gonna sit here and wait. No, they wanna be on schedule. And guess what? They overbooked that flight, and somebody else that's sitting in Indianapolis is gonna get your seat. They wanna do the banging. They don't wanna get banged. That shit, I don't care if it's illegal. It shouldn't be. Because you screwing people over on these high-ass flights. That's bullshit. And the thing is, the kid, he can't pay. He can't fight these big companies. I think the only thing he really has going for him is the fact that he didn't make any money off his website at all. It was pretty much just a website that helped people out, helped them find, you know, that connecting flight to where they wanted to go. But unfortunately, this genius idea will be shot down and dismantled, burned down, fucking deemed illegal, and it'll go back to where it is. And I'm pretty sure they're gonna find some way to make sure this shit doesn't happen. They're gonna find something. They're gonna find some way. They're gonna start probably flagging people or something, like, hey, this person gets off at their connecting flights, and then end up making like a personalized airfare. Like, if you're a good traveler, they'll give you a discounted price, and it's still not what the ticket should really fucking be anyway. They're going to find some way to do that shit. My hat goes off to that dude, too. He's an American hero. What else do I have on my list of shit to talk about? I got into a discussion about Kevin Hart's new movie. I guess he's asking Sony Pictures to pay him $3 million to advertise the movie through his social media outlets. And some people were saying, like, well, you know, that's kind of greedy and all this kind of stuff. But, I mean, this whole social media thing is still pretty new, you know? It's still pretty new. And after thinking about it a little bit, I started to come to the conclusion that I think what Kevin Hart is doing is he's helping out any future entertainers. You know? Because even though it's just tweeting, even though it's just pulling out your phone and you twiddle your thumbs, hit send, and it's done, it's still work. His Twitter, his Instagram, those are his personal accounts. Those are his personal accounts. To me, I almost look at it like, if you have a job and your boss is like, yo, you need to take this shit home and do it on your computer. Or you need to drive somewhere to do your job. That, you know, like if you work downtown, hey, you need to go across town and do that thing this week. You're going to want gas money. That's not your normal operating location. It's like, well, if you want me to do company work on my personal computer, or you might need to give me a computer, I need to be compensated because I'm using my personal stuff for work. I don't think it's greedy. Some people might think it's wrong. This is going to be loud again. Sorry, y'all. All right, this overhead light keeps going off. I could have just hit the button and not opened the door, but I'm not that smart. I don't think that's greedy. I feel like companies. I mean, look at the airlines. They're gonna try to get away with as much as they can. They're gonna try to squeeze you for every dime. They're gonna itemize everything. Don't even get free meals on flights anymore. It's not even included. Why not take advantage of that? He's using his personal accounts. Why not? It's funny because whenever it comes to like entertainment, even athletics, when it comes to money, when people see that actors and athletes are making, you know, a large sum of money, then all of a sudden it's just like, well, that's a lot of money. It's still work. It might look cool and seem that it's sensationalized, but it's still work. It might look fun to us, but to them, it's work. I'm pretty sure when you first start off your career as an actor, it's extremely fun. And I'm not saying actors don't enjoy it years into their career, but I mean, it's still just, it's your job, you know? And I feel like him doing this, you might start a trend. Hey, if you want me to advertise, I understand it's his movie, but if you want me to start doing all this stuff for you, I need something for it. Because after this movie comes out and it goes on DVD, Kevin Hart can't take those DVDs and just go sell them on the street and not give Sony a cut, because that's Sony's property. Yeah, I get it. You don't own your Twitter account. It belongs to Twitter or Facebook or Instagram. That stuff belongs to them. But it's still his own personal time. He should be compensated for it. Now, what would I do? Being in a feature film as a star, I can't even fathom. So, I mean, I would just take the shit. But when you've been in it for a while, you realize you know what you're worth. There's nothing wrong with getting your worth. Nothing wrong with getting your worth. And I realized this too, watching football this weekend. I was talking to some people. When are we going to stop lying and start admitting that pro sports is about money? When are we going to do that? It's all about money. I don't understand why people get mad when athletes want to take maximum pay for their job. I mean, that's cool that your boy from the Patriots, Tom Brady, takes a pay cut so the team can be better. People applaud that shit. People get upset at Kobe because he took the max contract and his team sucks. Oh, he should have took less money to make the team better. Please, how many of you people would take a cut in your salary to get another better accountant or a fucking claims specialist in your department? Probably none of you. Probably nobody. Okay? Maybe one, but I doubt it. 99.9% of people are like, fuck that. I'm getting my money. That's not on me. That's for the company to do. Same thing with fucking sports. Especially those guys, man. They put all that blood, sweat, and tears into that. I mean, look, as an accountant, you can't be running your fucking coffee break button hook route and blow your knee out, tear your ACL, and no longer can do accounting. Like, when you come back, people are like, oh, God, man, Terrell's spreadsheets just aren't what he used to be before he blew his ACL out, man. He's just kind of slow. He can't cut. He just can't hit that A gap like he. No, that shit doesn't happen. You blow your knee out, you can still sit your fat ass at the desk and crunch out numbers. Get as much money as you can. You don't know when your shit's going to be over with. To me, at the end of the day, championships don't mean shit. Yeah, it's something to talk about. But over time, people forget about that. You see it all the time at these basketball. In pro sports, they'll bring out some team from like the 1960s. They were like the conference champions or even the World Series MVP finalists, all that kind of shit. No one knows who they are. Maybe a few people do, but for the most part, no one knows who those guys are. And I'm pretty sure if you ask those guys, what would you rather have, a ring or $20 million in a bank? I'm pretty sure a large majority of them would say, I'll take the money. Yes, rings are cool. That's cool to be the best. But people forget about that shit. There's going to be a time where people forget about Michael Jordan. Now, maybe not the people in the sport, but everyone will be forgotten over time. And to me, having a legacy, a financial legacy, something you could, where your entire family has set up for generations, to me, that means more than a fucking ring. It really does. Because you win a ring, you die, your great-grandkids hear about how great you were, and then next thing you know, they got a heroin problem. It's like, hey, I'm going to steal my great-grandfather's ring. It pawned off to some sports nerd. Now they have nothing. But if you can put your family in a position where, I mean, everybody's going to college, everybody's doing well, to me, that lasts longer than being a champion. And being a world champion is probably the best feeling in the world. I'm not saying you can't be a good teammate, a team player, but to me, at the end of the day, it's about making as much money as you can. I don't know why we fucking lie to people, try to lie our kids. Yes, be a good team player, but when you make it pro, get as much money as you can. It's all about you, because you know what? This is another thing that really, really that changed my opinion about this, because I used to feel the same way. A few years ago, Eddie George, running back for the Titans, dude with a poster boy, never got in trouble. And this is during the time where the NFL, a lot of crazy shit was going on. Eddie George shows up to training camp. They won't let him in. They tell him to beat it. After playing them for that team for over 10 years, never did anything wrong. Didn't even have the balls to tell this dude that he was done. No respect. In pro sports, when you're done, you're finished. They don't give a shit. They're going to bring another 21-year-old guy in there who can do your job. He's bigger, faster, stronger, and they can pay him less money. They don't give a shit about these players. That's why I say, if you move 10 times, take every max contract, and if it just so happens you win a championship, then hey, that's perfect. But if you don't, who gives a shit? You're rich. Just save your money. No emails this week. NegroPleaseRadio@gmail.com. I'm Chris Allen. There's a show. That's a show. Y'all be safe. Peace out.